your Bibles to Matthew, 17th chapter. Matthew, the 17th chapter. And you are here for the launching of our new time with our screens. And hopefully we got everything, all the wrinkles ironed out. And we're excited about having those. I shared Wednesday night, I have been burdened for a long time about our screen that we had. I was glad to have it, but I realized that folks sitting over here had a hard time seeing it. Folks sitting over there had a difficult time seeing it. And so started praying about God letting us take care of this, and we have. And Pastor Fidena's son and his grandson actually came and installed them for us, and that was a great blessing to us. And so now we embark on a little bit of a new adventure. Amen. And hopefully it'll be helpful to you, as you can see better. You folks in the middle ought to be real blessed. You don't have to look at me anymore. You can look there, or you can look there. And I don't know, if you're cross-eyed, you can look at both maybe. I don't know. But anyway, we're in Matthew 17. By the way, that's a part of our remodel, and we're taking step by step. We got our banners up. We got Betty Schaefer's flag up yesterday. And here a little, there a little. And hopefully it won't be long. We'll get it all done. Matthew 17, the first 8 verses. I want you to follow along with me. The Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, or Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this blessed book. Thank you for how you've recorded these truths for us. And Lord, thank you for the power that's in this book, the power to change people's eternal destiny, the power to change people's lives, the power to change hearts. And Lord, we pray that today you would unleash the power of this blessed book in this place in such a way that every one of us would be yielded to you, every one of us would be moved by you, every one of us would be sensitive to you. Lord, I pray that you would just bless our time together. We need you. We need to hear from heaven. We need the touch of the Holy Spirit. We need a revival in our heart and in our life. God, help us today. We plead with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled this message, Hear Ye Him. Hear Ye Him. In verse 5, the last part of that verse, where God speaks out of the cloud and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. You know, the text before us is one that is familiar to many of us in this room. We have here the account of what is referred to as the transfiguration of Christ. That's a pretty big word. Transfiguration of Christ. Now, the word transfigure, and by the way, that's a Bible word. It's used there in verse 2. Comes from a Greek word, and the Greek word is this, metamorpho. Does that sound familiar? Metamorpho. Well, of course it does. Now, that metamorpho in the Greek word means to change to another form. Now, most of us learned in science class somewhere in school, if you paid any attention, how a caterpillar spins itself into a cocoon, and then a metamorphosis takes place. And pretty soon that caterpillar that went into that cocoon comes out in another form. So when the Bible says, and was transfigured, Jesus took on another form. You say, what form did he take on? He took on his heavenly form. He took on the appearance of the heavenly appearance, the bright light, et cetera, that would accompany him in his heavenly form. Now, in our text, we find Jesus has taken James, John, and Peter up to a mountain, just the three of them, up to this mountaintop, and there before their very eyes, Jesus was changed from his human form to his divine form. And standing with him now and conversing with him, they see two other men, and they recognize them as Moses and Elijah. Now, there's a lot that could be said about that, and I don't have time to say it. Maybe we'll do it another day. But now here's Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and here's James, John, and Peter, and they're looking at this, and suddenly Peter, and I've made a little note, the impetuous, put foot in mouth Peter interrupts their conversation. If I'm reading that right, while they're speaking, can you just see Peter kind of, excuse me, Lord. He's talking to Moses. He's talking to Elijah. Hey, guys, can I say something? He interrupts. And that's how Peter is. But he has a suggestion. And he says, Lord, it'd be good if we would build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for you. You know what he's saying? It'd be good if you just stay. And we could come up here and worship and whatever. He says, we'll build three tabernacles for you. Now, while he's speaking his proposal, a bright cloud comes over them, and suddenly they hear the voice of God coming out of that cloud. And that voice says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, as I read that, I got to thinking about this, and I did a little word search and research because there's something we need to understand about the word hear. Hear. Did you get that? Something we need to understand about the word hear. Hear. The word hear can mean a couple of things. Number one, that word hear can mean to hear a sound, to perceive a sound. I hear you. In my case, I don't hear you most of the time. But fellas, when your wife says something, did you hear what I said? Yes, I heard you. It went in this ear. But did you really hear her? Most of the time. Right through. Pew. It's really embarrassing when she says, well, what did I say? That's when we start to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So one meaning of hear is you perceive something. You hear a sound. But there's another meaning for this word hear, and it It means to perceive the meaning of what's being said. Now, when God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him," number one, he's verifying the identity of Christ. And then he's admonishing the disciples not just to hear words, not just to perceive something being said, but to hear what's being said in their heart. Not just to hear sounds, but to take what Jesus says to heart. To perceive the meaning of what Jesus has to say. Now this morning, there's a great need for people to listen to heed the words of Jesus Christ. His words are God's words. And they are, according to the Bible, the very words of life. Today I want to take a little while and share with you several reasons why every one of us needs to hear what Jesus says. First of all, we need to do so because God commands us to do exactly that. We hear it on the mountain right there. Hear ye him. You know, that's a command. That's not a suggestion. God didn't say if you find time or if you feel like it or, you know, if something you feel like you want to do. God gave a command. And when he gave that command, he gave a command to all men everywhere. Now, I know he was speaking to the disciples, but he's in essence speaking to all the disciples of Jesus who would come after him. He's speaking to all men everywhere. This is my beloved son. You need to listen to what he has to say. You know, there's no option, there's no alternative that would be acceptable to God. There is no other voice that we're supposed to choose to listen to. Not Allah, not Buddha, not Confucius, not Joseph Smith, not Charles Taze Russell, not Reverend Moon, and not even the Pope. No. God didn't say listen to any of them. He said listen to my son and take to heart what he says. A command from God, spoken from heaven. And you know, think about this. If God commanded people to hear his son, failure to do so then is sin. It's rebellion. My, don't we see a lot of that today? But there are those who refuse to listen to Jesus Christ. And what they do when they refuse to listen to Christ is they shake their fist in the face of Almighty God. They're saying to God, I'm not going to do what you commanded me to do and listen to Jesus. Many today refuse to hear what Jesus says. I run into a lot of people who refuse to hear what Jesus says. Not long ago, I ran into an atheistic person. An atheist is someone who denies God. Matter of fact, it was two Saturdays ago. Knocked on a door and a fellow came out. And he said, let me talk to you. And he came out on the porch. I told him who I was. He said, I don't want to hear any of it. I didn't even get to say anything. I hate when that happens. He said, I don't want to hear. I've gone through it before, blah, blah, blah. He says, I don't believe any of it. I said, wait a minute. You don't believe in God? No. You believe this is all there is? Yeah. I said, what's going to happen to you when you die? I just go in a hole in the ground. I said, isn't that a miserable life that this is all you get? This is the end. I don't want to talk about it. No. See, he's afraid he'd hear the truth. But he's an atheist. He's a God denier. He didn't believe in anything. And then I find not just the atheistic ones, but the undecided agnostic. This is the person who says, well, I believe there's something, but I don't know what it is. You know, I had an uncle I witnessed to one time. He was my favorite uncle. And I witnessed to him one time. You know what he said? He said, "All right, I believe there's something, but I don't know what it is." And he wouldn't get saved. You know, he died in that condition. Yeah. So far as I know, he didn't make it to heaven. He wasn't a bad man. He was a nice fella. But he just chose that position. I don't know what it is. God said, "Hey, you're supposed to listen to Jesus. He'll tell you about it." Then, of course, there was the Bible denier. That's just people say, "Oh, I don't believe anything in that book. That's just a bunch of fairy tales, blah, 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 blah." Or maybe the false religionist. He says, "Oh, we have our own Bible, Jehovah's Witness." Don't ever let them tell you they use the King James Bible. They'll try. You can look them in the eye and say, "You're a dirty, rotten liar because you use the New World Translation." Tell them I said so. Bible deniers. And let me just say this. Better buckle your seatbelt because some of you might get a little offended. But if you don't have a King James Bible in your hands that you read and study, you're a Bible denier. What do you mean? You're reading something other than God's Word. Because men have changed those books. NIV, the New English Version, and all these other. That's not God's Word. Amen, preacher. Well, you're making me mad. That's right. You'll get glad again. How about the liberal crowd? They don't want to hear anything Jesus has to say. Liberal crowd, the liquor crowd, the gambling crowd, the porno crowd, the rock music crowd, on and on we could go. Listen, we need to listen to what Jesus says because God tells us to and commands us. Then number two, we need to listen to Jesus because Jesus speaks authoritatively. Go back to chapter 7 of Matthew. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 7:28. And it came to pass when Jesus ending, I'm sorry. Yeah. Start a little earlier. 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, Jesus had authority. They couldn't get over the fact of how Jesus could speak about things no other men could speak about. He could bring truths that no other man could bring. And so when Jesus speaks, we need to understand he speaks authoritatively. What he says is fact. You know, he talks a lot about several things that he's the authority on. You know, he speaks authoritatively about heaven. He says in John 14, verse 1. John 14, 1 through 6. He says that he's building mansions for us. Go over there to John 14. He begins with, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Listen, Jesus is preparing a place for his people. This is a real literal place. He's building mansions for his people. He's gone before us and preparing, so when you get there, there's a place for you. By the way, it's your own personal place. He tells of how he's preparing. He tells of the mansions. He tells us about heaven and other places. He mentions about heaven. But listen, nobody else can speak authoritatively about heaven because nobody else has been there and come back. I know there's a lot of stories, a lot of books. You know, one's about this little boy said he died and went to heaven. And I read one where a guy was in a car wreck and he said he went to heaven for 30 minutes or something. But let me tell you something. The only one who's gone and come back is Jesus Christ. So he can tell us about heaven. But you know, he also speaks authoritatively about hell. Do you know how many people refuse to believe in a real literal hell? What did that guy say yesterday? 40% of Christians, so-called Christians, people who say they're Christians, do not believe in a real literal hell. You know, if you don't believe in a real literal hell, you're calling Jesus a liar. You're saying he deceived us because he spoke much about hell. In Luke 16, he talks about Lazarus and the rich man, and he says the rich man woke up in torment in hell. He shows hell to be a real place, not fiction. He shows hell to be a place of eternal torment. Over there in Mark chapter 9, he says that if your eye offends you or your arm offends you or whatever part of your body offends you, better to cut them off than to end up those things offending and causing you to go to hell where the fire dieth not and their worm, no, where the fire is not quenched and their worm dieth not. He's the only one that can really tell us what hell's really like. And it don't sound too promising to me. It don't sound like somewhere I'd want to go. He speaks authoritatively. Oh, other people, I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Pope Francis this past week or 2 weeks ago made a decree that he doesn't believe there's a real literal hell. The Pope. Well, now he's overriding Jesus. And let me say this, he thinks he can do that. If you're a Catholic here, I don't mean to offend you, but you need to understand, they believe the Pope can override Jesus. Yeah. You don't believe me? See me after the service. I'll show you in the catechism. Got it right on my shelf. The Pope speaks ex cathedra, in other words, in the place of Christ. So, if the Pope disagrees with what Jesus said, the Catholic Church says the Pope is right. Not me. I'll stay with Jesus. And he speaks authoritatively about salvation and eternal life. He tells people of the necessity to be born again. I like to use that word when I'm out soul winning. I said to a fellow the other day, have you been saved? He said, oh yeah, I've been saved. I said, where do you go to church? He told me the Catholic Church. I said, you go to Catholic Church and you say you're saved? Where'd you get saved? In the Catholic Church. Well, I knew the problem then. See, they've begun to use our lingo. Yeah. Because too many of them were getting converted when they got faced with the truth. So now they tell them when you take the Eucharist, you're saved. Well, they're not any more saved than the man in the moon. Jesus said the only way you get saved is you get born again. Well, how do I get born again? You come to Christ. You admit you're a sinner. And you call on him to forgive you of your sin. and you call on him to be your Savior, and you confess your need of a Savior. Jesus speaks of a broad way that leads to destruction over in Matthew 7, and a narrow way that leads to eternal life. And what he's saying there is, there's a broad way where a lot of people are going, and they want to go that way, but it leads to destruction. There's a narrow way, and I am that narrow way, and those who come through me have eternal life. We look at the world, and I don't know if it ever bothers you, but we're not ever going to save the whole world. Have you realized that? Man, I wish we could save all of Easton. I do. Not just to have a big church. If we saved all of Easton, we'd have several churches. But so that every person in Easton wouldn't be threatened with hell. That'd be wonderful. But in reality, I know that's not ever going to happen. You say, why not? Because people have a free will. And a lot of people choose not to go to heaven. Nah, nobody'd ever choose that. Listen, when you reject Jesus Christ, you choose not to go to heaven. Because he's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, the priest can't tell you how to get to heaven. The Jehovah's Witness can't tell you how to get to heaven. The Muslim can't tell you how to get to heaven. No other person can tell you how to get to heaven, because there is only one who speaks authoritatively on the way of eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. You come his way or you don't come. But so many don't want to listen. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth me shall never die. Most of you know I had a little episode a couple weeks ago, and my heart quit. That is not a good thing. Thank the Lord they had me in the ambulance, and the paramedics were there, and they actually had me at the hospital outside the emergency room in the ambulance. And they got the paddles, and they put them on me, and they got me going again. Then I was having other problems, and they had to shock my heart again, all that kind of mess. But here's the thing. I could have died. Yeah, I could have died. I believe the devil's tried to kill me about 5 different times. I believe that. But God won't let him. But I could have died physically. But you know, it really don't matter, because I'm going to live anyway. What do you mean? I'm going to heaven. This physical life is one day going to end. But see, when Jesus says if a man believes in him, he'll never die, doesn't mean this won't die. Most of us have loved ones who were saved and they've already died. But don't say Jesus lied here. No, if they were loved ones who were in Christ and they died, they're still alive. They're in heaven. That's our blessed hope. That's the truth. But Jesus is the only one who can tell us how to be saved. Oh, Jesus talks authoritatively on so many subjects. Whatever he says is 100% accurate. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, O sons of men, there never was mentor or orator so worthy of our regard as Jesus Christ. Never philosopher who had such maxims to deliver or such mysteries to unfold as this man, the Son of God, the incarnate wisdom. We need to listen to him. Why? God commands it. And then he speaks authoritatively. And then, those who refuse to hear him now, I'm sorry, no, we went too far. There. What Jesus says concerns every one of us. See, when Jesus speaks, it concerns our present and our future welfare. His words concern what we're living now and what we're going to live in the future. The words of Jesus teach us as Christians how to live a victorious Christian life. Listen, if you want to know how to live the right kind of life, you get your nose in the book and line your life up with the book. That's why God gave it to us. And then his words concern our relationship with God. They teach us how we can be reconciled to God. See, we were estranged from God by sin, but Jesus teaches us how we can be put back in that right relationship with God, and it's only through him. By the way, Jesus, in his words, teaches us how to pray. You know the Lord's Prayer. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer? People recite the Lord's Prayer, but you know, really, that's not a prayer, that's a model prayer. The disciples said, teach us how to pray. So Jesus gave them a model prayer to follow. Praise, intercession for others, pray for your personal needs, et cetera, et cetera. And so Jesus teaches us how to pray. Other places he teaches us the discipline of prayer, how he would go out early in the morning. He would go apart. He teaches us the necessity of having our alone time with God. He said we should have a prayer closet. So he teaches us much about prayer. By the way, that Lord's Prayer reminds me of a little funny story about myself. I was preaching a funeral down at Strunk's Funeral Home. It was for somebody I'd never met. They called and asked if I would do a funeral. I said, sure, I'll do the funeral. And so I did the funeral. And at the end, I was going to close in prayer. So as I would here, I said, well, let's pray. And I said, I was just addressing God. I said, our Father, and everybody in the room said, our Father. I said, oh, my goodness. So we recited the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, wasn't where I was going, but it was okay. But his words, they tell us how to escape hell, how to get to heaven. On and on we can go. But here's a great reason to listen to what Jesus says. Those who refuse to hear him now will hear him later. Amen. Go to Matthew 7. Look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They'll hear from him. I cannot imagine hearing those words. Depart from me. These are people who feigned to belong to Christ, but never really took him as their Savior. These are those who put their faith in what they did for him, not what he did for them. A lot of people around think because they do this or this or this, they're going to heaven. I remember a fellow in Gastonia I visited, and I was trying to get him to get saved and get in church. And he said, well, I'll tell you this, preacher. If anybody's in heaven today, my grandma's in heaven today. I said, really? Why do you say that? Oh, she was a good woman. She helped people, she this, she that. Now, I got to be honest, I was trying to be kind to him, and I didn't refute him. about his grandma. But in my heart, I knew if that's what grandma was trusting in, she didn't get there. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He's the only way to heaven. Those who refuse to hear him will hear him again. They'll also hear him. Go over to Revelation 20. The Bible says in verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, that's Jesus, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, they'll hear him again when he tells the angels, cast him into the lake of fire. Cast him. Cast him. Cast him. When he'll judge their works, depart from me. I never knew you. Cast them into the lake of fire. Listen, we need to listen to him now, or else we'll have to listen to him later. We need to listen before it's eternally too late. One final thing, and I got to stop. We need to hear when Jesus speaks. Because his word teaches us what God requires. How do I know how to be a good Christian? Oh, I go to church and listen to the preacher. Maybe. You know you should check out the preacher. What do you mean? You need to check out and make sure what I preach is true. See, sometimes there are preachers who preach things aren't true. You find them on television. I hear some on the radio. I hear preachers say stuff, and I say, that's not true. I heard a man on the radio make this statement. Hell was not created for the devil and his angels. I said, the Bible says it was. Check me out. I don't fear that. If I'm wrong, I need to know it. Usually my wife tells me. I'm serious, though. If I'm seeing something wrong, I need to know it. And if I'm intentionally preaching something wrong, something needs to be done. See, if you want to know how to live for God and do what God requires, you get your nose in the book and you find out. We need to understand what God requires when he instructs us to do different things, like love our enemies, forgive one another, give God a priority in our life, pray properly, witness to other people. These are all things God says we should be doing. Check it out. We should look to the Bible to find out what he commands us to do. Believe in him for salvation. Separate from the world. Take up our cross and follow him. Live lives of integrity, of character, of moral purity, of holiness. All those things. Listen, I have never made up a list of do's and don'ts for Christians. I never will. God's already done it. It's right here. I heard of a case where somebody one day, we heard this on the radio, somebody one day filled out a paper with all the sins they could think of, front and back. And they were having a special meeting, a revival meeting, and they had what they called sin night. And that night, this evangelist who was there gave out these papers to everybody that came, and he said, I'm going to give you a few minutes now. I want you to go down that list and look at those sins and check the ones that you're involved in. The preacher said the next day he was in his study, and a new convert, a girl who had just gotten saved, came in, and she put her Bible down on his desk. And she said, preacher, I quit. What do you mean you quit? I'm resigning the church. I quit. I said, what are you talking about? She said, that list that you gave out last night, she said, I went over that list. And the majority of the things on that list I either have done, am doing, or will do in the future. There's no way I can't do it. You know what the preacher said to her? Or not to her. He tried to encourage her, and he got her back in church and things. But he went to that evangelist. You know what he said to him? He said, brother, God didn't even put every sin that we can commit on a page in the Bible. He teaches us a little bit at a time, line upon line, precept upon precept. He deals with one here and one there and one there and one there. He don't load up the boat or the truck and dump the whole load on us. But he speaks to us. And when he speaks, we're supposed to listen. Learn how to live for him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to talk to Christians here for a minute.